straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
You heard the lady. On Second Thought, episode 120, powered by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden, joined by Taylor's favorite duck, Kirk Bowles. Duck, in the words of that famous 80s hair band, Def Leppard, pour some sugar on me.
Go Knowles.
Longhorns Ooga at the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day. Who'd have thunk it at the beginning of the season? Lose to Maryland, and here they are in a major bowl game.
Yeah, who would have thought that?
I would not have.
I would not have either. I mean, you know, you had them 7-5. I had them 8-4. They're 9-4. So they're not too far off for where we had them. But
not too far off, but way better result than we ever could have imagined.
And not in a New Year's Six bowl either, which is where they are. So it's they're trending the right way.
Trending the right way, and we're going to have Atlanta Journal-Constitution columnist Mark Bradley, who's been all over the Georgia Bulldogs for many, many years. He's going to give us a look on the other side of the fence. Let's get to some recent news. First of all, Twitter, Breckenhager tweets a photo of his busted-up hand. The team is saying it was a quote-unquote accident. Do you think Brecken put his hand through some glass after the loss to OU in the Big 12 championship?
If I had to guess, yes, because that's kind of the volatility of one Breckenhager.
But you know what, Duck? There is a bright side to that. I'm a glass half full guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm a glass half broken guy.
Breckenhager finally hit somebody. Oh, he had one tackle in the Big 12 title game, and I believe he had two tackles the week before. So he's not like he's been a physical presence on this defense, and I don't understand. I understand the volatility, the emotion, the passion, but Brecken needs to play better in this coming up, his last game of his college career.
Well, and he's hurt himself. You know, who knows if he'd be able to play? You know, defensive lineman, you need those hands.
That looked horrible. The photo looked really bad.
In fact, if I had to bet, he wouldn't play. I mean, it looked bad.
Yeah, it really looked bad. And to add to that, I mean, Malcolm Roach has shown up.
Yeah,
he's flashed a couple of times.
He's come on.
And you know what you're going to get out of Charles Omenihue.
Right.
And so Brecken, who I did watch, they played him a whole lot in situational pass rushing. He's not an every down player, the way this defense is formatted, and now he's probably hurt his chances of playing even more with this hand injury. Just a guy that makes a lot more headlines outside the field than he does on it. So I think this Texas defense is going to be really tested, but it's a Big 12 defense. Nothing that Georgia throws at him is going to be nearly as electric as facing Patrick Mahomes, Hollywood Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and guys of that ilk.
Well, the other thing, too, is that Georgia plays a physical brand of football, which
SEC
is what
brand.
Tom Herman wants to play and has, by and large, tried to play.
Is Texas the closest thing to an SEC team in the Big 12?
I would probably say them and Iowa State are the ones that like to play that kind of style, a little more grounded with the run and strong defense. And TCU. Mm-hmm. TCU is very similar in that regard, too. So, you know, as far as the matchup goes, I mean, Jake Fromm's a high-quality quarterback, and they've got a pair of running backs in Swift and Holyfield. They're good. They got a really stout defense. DeAndre Baker in the secondary is probably going to make some All-American teams. So, you know, it'd be interesting where Georgia's heads are, you know, after coming so close to making the playoff, and where Texas is. But Texas probably has more to gain with this bowl game.
I think so. And, you know, we've got our fantasy league guru, Kat Vasquez, is going to be joining us in our final segment. This is not fantasy world. This is real life. And the Texas Longhorns, after many, many years, 2009 BCS title game was the last time Texas was in one of these type of games. And I always aspire to the belief that the team that wants to be there more
always
has a better chance at winning. The Horns are an 11-point favorite in some bookhouses, Duck. And
underdog.
I mean, 11-point underdog. Let me get that right. In many of the bookhouses, to double-digit underdog. And I think that they can galvanize themselves coming in. Georgia coming off a really tough loss in the SEC title game. How do you think that's going to work out for Texas?
Well, I think it probably helps Georgia that they're not playing next week. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had to come back off of that excruciating loss, I think they might have a little more problems galvanizing emotionally and getting back on track. I think as long as you've got leaders like Sam Ehlinger and Gary Johnson back there and some of those guys in the secondary, I think they'll have their heads on straight and they know what's at stake, because you're playing as much for next year as you are the end of this season. If Texas could go in there and beat a Georgia team that was in a whisker of making the playoffs and start that next season momentum with that, that would make huge strides for them.
You know what? And one thing that we haven't talked about a whole lot, Duck, is this time last year, Texas is getting ready for the bowl game. You had all these juniors declaring for the NFL. And,
like
and
seven
it turns
of them
out that
play.
Connor Williams doesn't play.
Right.
And Malik Jefferson
Deshaun
doesn't play.
Elliott.
Holton Hill gets basically tossed. The Kraken, Deshaun Elliott, doesn't play. I don't think you're going to have that kind of dynamic going into this bowl game. You have a team that has a lot of young players and a lot of seniors, a good mix, and you don't really have any standout juniors that I would think would leave. I don't think Brandon Jones has done enough
to throw his name in the hat. Well, he said he's coming back.
And he's already said it. Yeah.
The only two that I would think would be the receivers, little Jordan
and Colin Johnson.
Mm-hmm. But Colin Johnson and his dad have both said, no, he's playing in the bowl game. And neither one walked on junior day.
That's a good sign for Tom.
Which would be a clear tip-off. So I'm with you. I think they all come back and all play, because there's not those highly touted players that might go in the first two rounds. So they ought to have a full team, I think. And against this Georgia team, they're going to need it.
They're going to need it. And you've heard our take on the Longhorns, and you're going to hear a lot more over these next few weeks. Let's check out what our guest had to say about the Georgia Bulldogs. Here's Atlanta Journal-Constitution columnist Mark Bradley on Second Thought.
On Second Thought.
Joining us via phone here in the dungeon. Wow. This is a treat.
Mark's world, my man.
World-famous Atlanta Journal-Constitution columnist Mark Bradley is on the phone, and he's here to talk a little bit of OOGA with us. Mark, how's it going, and what's Kirby Smart's Q rating in Athens right now?
Well, in the big picture, I mean, they're ecstatic that, you know, they almost won the national championship this year, and they almost made the playoffs this year. Smaller picture, they probably wondered what the heck that fake punt was all about. As did, I think, everybody who saw it. But, the big picture-wise, this is probably the worst Georgia team we're going to see for the next few years.
Oh,
it
wow.
it almost made the playoffs. So I think the Q rating, going forward, is still very, very strong.
Well, Texas fans would like to see the worst Georgia team in New Orleans in a few weeks. I don't know if they're going to see a worse Georgia team, but Kirby's really got it rolling. He really does recruiting, as you said. He's just on the lip of the cup here. There are a lot of broken hearts there in Georgia right now, especially on top of the Super Bowl. How many broken hearts can there be in one state?
We've kind of cornered the market on the excruciating loss. We've had 28-3 and then 13-0 in the championship game last year, and then, you know, 2 14-point leads in this one. So this is the third time in 6 years that Georgia has basically lost a playoff game or a playoff play-in to Alabama, and every time it had a second-half lead of at least double figures.
So don't take a lead, yeah. Mark. It's easy. Don't
get
ahead.
Yeah, I know. They just stay behind and see what happens that way. But, there was – there are a lot of Georgia fans that are just like, you know, are we ever going to get by that team? But, you know, Kirby's a much younger man than Saban. I think that, you know, if nothing else, they've got that going for them.
Yeah, and I've saw this freakish stat. I mean, Alabama's led for like 2 minutes.
The last two games.
Well, here's an even freakier stat. Alabama, in the last two games against Georgia, both of them this calendar year, has not taken a snap while holding the lead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's just like, how do you do that? And yet they do it.
Well, only Nick Saban can.
They're pretty amazing, yeah.
They pretty much are. I mean, when you were watching that game last Saturday, we were obviously up in Arlington watching Texas lose to Oklahoma and then watching the SEC title game after that. What's going through your mind when you're seeing, you know, Georgia go up by 14 points and Rodrigo coming in for a field goal to push them even further ahead?
A great kicker.
It's incredulous, aren't you? They just dominated them.
You know, I would be if I hadn't seen the exact same game in January. I think this time it seemed like they I was pretty sure they were going to win in January when they were up 13-0 and Jalen Hurts wasn't doing anything. And I was even sure this time because I thought Tua was just terrible.
He was.
And then he goes out and you think, well, you know, they've got it where they want it. And mm-hmm. they did, and they once again they just couldn't make it stick. And you know, obviously the fake punt will be the thing that we remember, you know, for years and years. But the field goal that would have made it 17-point lead was a big one. And like Cedric said, Rodrigo doesn't miss very much.
No, he doesn't.
It just seems like Alabama always gets what it needs, mm-hmm. and which I guess is why they kind of keep winning national titles.
Well, I live with the belief that he can't coach forever. And
why? Why do you say that?
Yeah, because Father Time is undefeated in the worlds of the immortal Charles Barkley. But, Mark, this offense loses Sony Michel, loses Nick Chubb, but Jake Fromm, it's a pretty good quarterback matchup between two of the most improved quarterbacks in the country. Jake Fromm, 68% of his passes completed, 27 touchdowns, only 5 picks. What's been the key to his maturation from freshman to sophomore?
Well, I think he was pretty good last year, actually.
Oh, he really was.
They've asked him to do more this time. And for the first part of the year, the running game didn't really get going until Florida, until after the LSU loss. Swift was hurt a little bit, or playing sort of hurt early in the year, DeAndre Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got going, everything changed. They were a much better team over the last 5 games of the regular season. And he was a big part of that. But Fromm's been really good from the start. He outplayed Baker Mayfield last year. He outplayed Jalen Hurts last year. He outplayed Tua this time. A lot of people still think, you know, well, why isn't Justin Fields starting or why isn't he playing more? Well, mm-hmm. there's your reason. Mm-hmm. The guy in front of him is really good and doesn't make many mistakes. I think that it will be interesting to see what Fields does because Georgia hasn't really had a chance to give him much of a role this season, and next year will be his sophomore year, and I would imagine he'll probably stay because to leave now he would have to sit out a year.
Right.
And Fromm next year will be Fromm's junior year, and pretty good chance he'll leave for the NFL if everything keeps going the way it's going. So Fields could step in and be the starter in 2020. It's tough because, you saw how long Kelly Bryant stayed at Clemson after he got demoted. But then again, you have the case of Jalen Hurts, who
right.
Stayed at Alabama and won him an SEC title. So Fields is a big time talent, though, but Fromm is too. And it's just an unusual situation to try to have to sort out how to placate both when I don't know there is a way to really do that.
And Jake Fromm's definitely got NFL capabilities, does he not?
I would think so. I know some people think, well, he doesn't have the arm. Well, you know, what part of the arm am I missing here? I mean, he throws it deep. He throws it short. He completes about everything. He has pocket presence. He reads the game. I've seen a lot worse NFL quarterbacks than this guy.
You know what? And another thing, this NFL offense, it's not like not everybody's the Baltimore Ravens where they're pressing it downfield with Flacco or Russell Wilson throwing it deep. There are a lot of West Coast. There's a lot of West Coast going on. Matt Ryan throws it vertically, but he, in the right situation, he could be a really, really good NFL quarterback. I was going to ask you about the running backs, DeAndre Smith, Elijah Holyfield, particularly Holyfield. He's kind of had a couple, two, three good games here late in the season, but it was mostly Swift earlier. And he is definitely, he's the son of the real deal, former heavyweight champion. What do you know about Elijah and what he's done this year?
You know, the presumption was that Swift was going to get most of the carries, that he was going to be the guy. And then Holyfield actually started a lot of games earlier in the season, and he was kind of thought of as the clear backup. You know, there was believed to be a greater separation between him and between Swift and Holyfield than there ever was between Chubb and Michelle. But Holyfield was getting a lot of carries early, and the thought was that, you know, he just runs hard, and as I say, Swift wasn't quite healthy yet. But over the second half of the season, Swift began to put up the bigger numbers, but Holyfield is a really good complement. He doesn't have the escape capability and the go the distance capability that Swift does, but he really runs hard, and he finishes runs, as they say, and he can, he's a good back in his own right. And there's another guy there that who is Dalvin Cook's brother, James Cook, that a lot of people thought would play a lot this year, who really hasn't done much. And then they had the number one back in his class who got hurt in preseason, the freshman. So they're pretty well stocked for backs. But the truth is, they're pretty well stocked everywhere. Their recruiting has been unbelievable, and that's the big thing that makes you think that this program is going to go even further than it has gone pretty soon.
No, it's like you say, it's on a.
They're just loaded.
It's on a rapid ascent. There's no question. Well, Cedric and I are wondering about Georgia's emotional approach toward this game after, you know, getting so close to the playoffs, they could almost taste it, and then being denied. What do you think their approach is going to be toward playing Texas? And the fact that it is the Sugar Bowl and they have a name brand opponent, do you think Georgia will be as up for this game as you would think?
That's bowl games, you've covered. You know, you've covered a million of them, and I've covered a thousand of them. You get to the point where you think, a lot of it has to do, if you're not in the playoff, a lot of it has to do with the team that most wants to be there.
Absolutely.
And that's a good question about Georgia. Now, they tend to be pretty... You know, they tend to be pretty tenacious. They play hard. Smart keeps them focused. But, having come so close to the playoff, it could be that they come in thinking, you know, we don't really want to be here. Mm-hmm. And even if we are playing Texas.
Right.
I think that could be something to watch because... Georgia was playing at such a high level after the LSU game that it would be. I think that the month off in between will be something to watch. Now, the fact that it is a big time bowl still, mm-hmm. The Sugar Bowl as opposed to the you know, Independence Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That could have something to do with it. I just think that, you know, I think that Smart will certainly try to guard against that, but sometimes it's hard to fight human nature.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to be interesting too, because they felt like they deserved to be in the Final Four, obviously. And what's going to be really interesting, we got 1 and 2 from the Big 12 playing 1 and 2 from the SEC. So this will be a real measuring stick for the Big 12. Can they be competitive? Can they pull off one of these wins or both or what? So they're going to be, there's a lot of bragging rights on the line for this one besides just the Alabama OU stakes.
Yeah, well, Oklahoma and Georgia went to overtime in the Rose Bowl last year, so there wasn't much separating that.
Right,
and I think that it will be interesting to see, you know, how Kyler Murray does against the Alabama guys, and it will be interesting to see how Georgia does against the Texas offense. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is there any chance any Georgia players leave early and don't play in the bowl game?
I there's not one that jumps to mind.
Okay.
I guess DeAndre Baker is
among
seniors, but I would be surprised at that. I think some of it depends on how big the bowl is, whether or not you want to skip it.
Right.
And how much you like playing with your guys. And I think, you know, this is a pretty big bowl, and I think Georgia guys tend to like playing with each other.
So I guess, is this the first game since the 84 Cotton Bowl?
I believe it is.
I think
it is. The game where John Lastinger outran Jerry Gray. One of all the Vince Dooley wins over the early 80s, that was probably the most improbable because, Georgia did very well that year to get to, I think they ended up like maybe 10-1-1 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they got everything out of that team because that was the first year after Herschel. And that was like the, you know, they hung in pretty good against everybody, and Auburn finally beat them in the next to last game of the regular season, and that was Auburn with Bo Jackson that won the SEC. And then you think, well, that's kind of the end of the Herschel years, and then Georgia goes down to the Cotton Bowl and beats Texas, which I think was like number 2 in the country.
Oh yeah, they were. They had a shot at the national championship. And Texas has been waiting 35 years for payback here.
I'm sure
these players remember that game very fondly.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you can follow Mark Bradley on Twitter at Mark Bradley AJC. Mark, we look forward to seeing you in the Big Easy, man. Thanks for coming on, and we appreciate you dropping some knowledge on us today.
Well, I don't know that I did that, but it's always a treat to hear the legendary Kirk Bowles in his element here, because he's a giant in the industry.
He's a dinosaur, you mean?
Yeah, no, I meant a giant.
He's
anyway,
like 5'6".
I appreciate you asking me, and I look forward to seeing you guys.
Well, you have a great holiday, and we'll see you in New Orleans, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
On Second Thought.
It's that time of year, fantasy football playoffs starting for a lot of people in America. One of them, not so much. Kirk Bowles did not make it.
Why are we wasting our time with this segment?
The sitting Ducks finished 7-6 in our office fantasy league.
That's a winning record.
And took a bad beat for the season, not getting into the playoffs. You're in a beehive of a conference, sir.
Four teams in our division all had winning records.
All had winning records, including the division champion, Las Vegas Derelicts.
Yeah, but excuse me while I stick pins in my Leonard Fournette voodoo doll.
Who gave me eight quarters this year. And he gets thrown out of a game.
Eight quarters out of my most expensive running back.
$50 salary cap. You spent like $9 on him, right?
Yeah, over $9.
Yeah, so.
And you know, Brady wasn't Brady, and Antonio Brown was good, but he wasn't Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
So your superstars got to be superstars.
They have to play well, especially in that league.
And you have Todd Gurley.
I have Todd Gurley, who needs to stop.
He's messing with your head.
Messing around at the goal line. Get your butt.
And it's getting a little carried away.
In here. The end zone.
Yeah.
2:39 to go and you're thinking point spread. There are people in the country that don't like that kind of thing.
No, a lot of people.
All of them have money
on the line. So I like to ask Kat.
Hold on. We've got to introduce him. Our fantasy league guru, Kat Vasquez, is here.
I don't know why you're burying the lead.
I didn't bury the lead, but you got a little bit ahead of yourself.
Okay.
Kat Vasquez is here in the dungeon, and I'm playing his FC Gatos.
Oh, you're playing
in the first round of the playoffs. I beat him last year.
Who's the favorite?
I beat him this year.
You beat me this year, right? That was pretty good beat.
It was a pretty big beat. Kat's favored by like 4 points.
Ooh.
To beat me.
How you feel about that?
But he's without. Without James Conner.
I will be without James Conner. It's pretty tough to beat a team twice in 1 year. Just ask the Longhorns.
Yeah.
Ooh, too soon, Kat. Too soon. Well, I know people out there don't care about our league. They care about their own leagues.
That's true.
What players out there? And I know there are a couple of them that kind of in the last couple of weeks have emerged. If you're someone who lost a James Conner, who are you looking to pick up you can get him?
That one's pretty easy because it's right in front of you. Jalen Samuels, you probably should have had him already. And unfortunately for me, I did have him a couple weeks ago.
Got rid of him.
I saw an opportunity to see if I could pick up, somebody better. I went after Gus Edwards. I got him, but he's just not.
He's okay.
He's okay. He's not. And now, given that Conner's hurt, I wish I hadn't have done that. But Samuels looked pretty good. He scored in the minimal time he played last week, so he could fill in okay. He's not going to give you the same kind of numbers though, because I think they're going to. Mike Tomlin said, although he doesn't always tell the truth about his players, like James Conner is okay.
Is he
right? So you might see Stephen Ridley too. So it's going to hedge a little bit of what Samuels can do.
So which players are coming on the last two, 3 weeks now that they're in the playoff race now? Who's
You have a guy that is just going crazy right now. Philip Lindsay.
Yeah. Oh man, he's great.
I said you did not want to see the sitting ducks in the playoffs.
He went off.
He's the best running back in the league right now.
He is right now. I mean, and it's amazing what he's done so far. And the usage is there. You don't have to worry about Royce Freeman right now. It's just if you have him, he's going to be on a lot of championship teams this year. Is what's going to happen.
He'll be a big pick next year, won't he?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And what about the Los Angeles Chargers? We don't know the status of one Melvin Gordon, but that kid, Justin Jackson.
Oh yeah, that guy looked great.
Really good against the Steelers.
He looks awesome. I had him ahead of Austin Eckler in my waiver column, and you could see it out there on the field. He just looks the part right away, and Gordon's probably going to come back. Hopefully. I mean, if you drafted him, you for sure need him on your team. But Jackson, if you handcuffed him, at the right time, then you could be okay if he misses more time.
Right. Anybody else how about quarterback? Anybody who's kind of... Carson Wentz coming on a little
I've got
bit.
Somebody that...
What about Nick Mullins for the 49ers? Yeah. He went off in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's one of those guys who doesn't seem like he's a real good quarterback in real life, but like he put up 400 yards passing. I mean, that's pretty
good. 460, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was that much, but it was
a lot.
Over 400. That's a great game. And he opened his career with a really good game in prime time, but then he had two duds in a row, so you had to kind of back off. But somebody who else is really coming on right now that he's had two straight awesome games, rushed for 100 yards for two straight games. He got knocked down to 99 on kneel down. Josh Allen for the Bills.
Oh my God. If you have
a quarterback who's merely okay at passing, but can rush for over 70 yards in a game, that's gravy. That's awesome.
If you're starting a guy like Josh Allen, you're just trying to get 15 points.
Pretty much, yeah.
Standard scoring.
Exactly. You don't want have one of those top guys. Then he's a great person to take a flyer on.
DeAndre Watson runs a little bit, but he's playing very well. Getting protection. Dak Prescott running a little bit. Not big numbers in the running, but they're
he's more effective when he runs for sure. And you get, it's almost like a plus two or plus three when you get a guy like that.
Right.
And that's great when he's merely an okay to good quarterback for fantasy anyway.
Well, you know, Kat, you are the resident fantasy league expert on our staff, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a question involving a close friend of mine has a quandary in his starting lineup. Mm-hmm. The friend wonders, should he start Dak Prescott on Sunday against Philly, or should he start Kirk Cousins against the at Seattle? Yeah.
Ooh,
that's a quandary. That's a tough one. And in the CBS projections, Dak is projected to score more than Kirk Cousins.
You know,
by 2 points.
That's interesting, but I'm going to be honest, Ed. I'm not going to try to sabotage your friend.
Yeah. Don't sabotage my friend, because my friend is a good guy.
I just, this is tough because the Vikings are really starting to slide in the wrong direction.
They are.
But they got the talent. Adam Thielen is great.
They have the upside.
Stephon Diggs is a good receiver. They've got Kyle Rudolph. I don't see why Cousins doesn't bounce back unless there's something worse going on in Minnesota.
And I don't think it's a Green Bay type of mutinous.
No.
Where it's really fractured.
You wouldn't think so.
Well, they haven't had a good offensive line all year.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a big deal.
And you can tell that I've been watching a lot of Viking games because I got Cousins, but you can tell those guys like each other on the field.
Yeah.
They're having fun with their little celebrations. I think the upside is bigger for Cousins, and I just wanted to hear what you were going to say.
No, I think that's
the one time I did sit Kirk Cousins. It cost me dearly.
He didn't do much last week, did he?
No.
Yeah,
I like Prescott better because they're at home, and they're going to have. They play with so much confidence at home.
It's just too Zeke. And it's too
Cooper,
much Zeke.
Well, I mean, he's throwing to Cooper, finding Cooper.
Just one guy.
I just don't trust Cousins. I thought he would have a great year. And
he's had a good year.
I don't think he's had a $35 million a year.
No,
that's for sure true. But and the thing is, he might not have even. You'd have to compare it side by side. But I don't know that Keenum had a worse year than Cousins. I mean, if they had the same exact production, I think they would probably be better off at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you resting with on your lineup? Are you pretty locked in?
Well, I'm trying to start guys that are at least practicing.
That helps.
And I've got a few that aren't. Michael Thomas missed today. James Conner's out. I had another running back that was, Kerryon Johnson, who I was hoping would be back by now, is still not practicing. So, yeah, I've got some issues. I might end up having to throw Gus Edwards out there, unfortunately.
I could trade you Leonard Fournette since I'm out of the playoffs.
That would be awesome if we weren't past the deadline.
don't get collusion.
No, I think I'm pretty set. I've got Cam Newton starting. He's been great all year. He doesn't get hurt. He's Superman out there. So that's an
injury now, though. Doesn't he have some kind of injury now?
He's suffering right now. He's not. I don't think he's practicing, but I don't think he necessarily has to practice to start.
And he lost Greg Olsen.
That's true. That does hurt him for sure. But he's got some running ability. I think you're trying to talk me into starting Josh Allen, Kirk.
who are they playing? Who's Buffalo playing?
I don't care who they play. Who's starting, Cat?
I don't know that that's going to happen this week.
Got to have weapons, man. You got to have weapons. So who's the MVP of the league?
Oh.
And who's the newcomer? Boy, next year he's going to be a big pick.
Let's go with I think you gotta just stick with Pat Mahomes. That's who I said last time I was in here, and 41 touchdowns already. That's just unbelievable.
Dumb. That's dumb.
He's gotta end with more than 50, right?
Yeah. Of course.
What is does Brady have the record? Do we know that?
It's 50 Brady or Peyton, right?
Peyton had 49.
So I think
Brady has 50.
Brady and
Breeze,
Moss year
is
probably
in that conversation.
Breeze has never thrown 50. I think Aaron Rodgers may have been up there.
If it isn't Pat Mahomes, would Todd Gurley be the MVP?
You know, I like Todd Gurley a lot. I think what the problem is, he didn't have a great game in that big shootout that they had with the Chiefs. So
he was out that first half.
Yeah, that's true. I think you were talking about him looking like he was a little injured in that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I like him. Breeze, of course, he was doing great until that Cowboys game where he should. I mean, I don't see how he did. They held him in check all game.
That was crazy. Yeah. Was there.
Four quarters. That was unbelievable. That's why I kind of think the Cowboys might look like they're gonna fall back a little bit, maybe a little bit of a 10-day hangover against the Eagles at home.
Yeah,
and the Eagles just won a big game they needed. So
they do that.
That's kind of why I was a little against that Prescott question earlier, because I don't know.
I can make an argument either way. As far as next
year. Oh, hold on. Don't forget Phillip Rivers.
He's had a real life MVP kind of season.
He really has.
Yeah, he's doing great.
How many touchdowns does Rivers have? I mean, he's torn it up very quietly.
Yeah, he's coming up on 30 touchdowns. And Peyton Manning, 55 touchdowns in 2013.
Oh, that's right.
And Brady had 50 in 2007. Rodgers had 45.
Wow.
So the most breezes thrown is 46.
Can't see Mahomes getting
to 55. 14 and how many games? Four games?
Mm-hmm. Four games left.
Ooh, that's
every four games he can do there.
He's not going to get there.
He won't get there, I don't think. But that's, I mean, close enough for me in terms of fantasy MVP. He's been great.
Yeah. And Kareem Hunt.
Who's got
Hunt.
Him on our in our league?
It's the Easy Does It.
Oh,
and they're not making a wrong move all year because they already had Spencer Ware on their team.
That's a well-run organization.
Yeah, they did a good job there.
Yeah, I think the winner of our game is the most likely cat to play the number one seeded Easy.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Kat, we appreciate it as usual. Dropping a little fantasy league playoff knowledge on the populace.
Hey,
I came after you during the season. I'm coming after you again.
My rankings tomorrow, or Thursday, I guess, today.
Great. That'll be today, Thursday, usually on page 2 or 3, right, Kat?
Actually, that's online only, so make sure you visit the website.
They've been running you in the paper, too, though.
That's my waiver. My waiver column comes out every Tuesday, and then on Saturday you got your start sits.
Don't miss it online.
Miss it on statesman.com. Kat, we appreciate it. I'm wishing you luck, but really need this dub.
So sincere.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 120 of On Second Thought. We have to thank Atlanta Journal-Constitution columnist Mark Bradley for joining us. Also, our very own Kat Vasquez for his fantasy league knowledge. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.